Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
There's a smash to left, high and deep, and this one is off the top of the wall, just missing a home run. Judge in the third, he's being waved around. Bogaerts relayed to the plate, and he is out! What a mistake by Phil Nevin, who's done that before in this ballpark.
Wow. Can't believe he sent him with one out. The 0-1. Fly ball right center field. Renfro is there and calling. He makes the catch and the Red Sox move on. The Red Sox advance to the American League Division Series against Tampa Bay, and they eliminate the New York Yankees with a 6-2 win, and they're mobbing each other by the pitcher's mound.
Why the f*** were you sending him? You f***ing bonehead play of the year! Of the year! He was out by a mile!
That's our good friend Nicky Torturo right there. Listen, this is going to be some kind of show. WYNK, the Kings of New York are here. We are here for you on this, the worst day in Yankee baseball history. I'm the fat man, Joey Lucco. This is Richie Grivaldi. Richie, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted with this baseball. I'm done. I'm done with them. I'm telling you right now, I swear to God on my mother's grave, I'll never watch another Yankees game in my life. I'm done with them.
I know you've been saying, you said yesterday that you were going to be done with them if they didn't show up to this game and play the game like men in stripes are supposed to play the game. You said, and you said this yourself, if they don't show up like they belong in the stripes, that you were done with them. And you know what? I was the first one to say, I didn't think that we would see that performance from Gerrit Cole. I'll get into that in a second. But I'm telling you right now, you made some really good points about Brian Cashman yesterday. It's time to do away with Brian Cashman as head of the Yankees. He's got to go.
He's got to go. Listen, get a Theo Epstein in here. What about Cashman? We had him for 50 years now. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of his face. I don't want to see his face no more. I don't want to see, you know what? So I don't want to see his bald head. It's Brett Gardner. I'm done with his crunchy
face. Brett Gardner's done. We're done with Brett Gardner.
And what the hell? Cashman. Yeah. What are you bringing in here? I'm so tired. Man. Rucknet. What is a Rucknet? I never heard of a Rucknet. By the way, I'm done with Gleyber, too. I'm done with him. I don't even know what a Gleyber is. It's something that you change on your car.
Slow down.
It's not. Listen.
Kid's 18.
Hey, my Gleyber's out. Are you going to cost me $300? Get out of here. I'm not fixing
my
Gleyber.
He's 18 years old. We got to let the kid have a chance to develop.
I'm done with all of them. What happened to the good names like Derek and Bernie? And we had the Mick and Joe D. No, we got a Gleyber and a Ruck. Get out of here with this team. I'm sick of them. I'm done.
Right, Mariano too. So,
you're throwing a Mariano. That's fine.
The good Latin players. The way I feel about this, Fats, is, you know, I'm very conflicted because on one hand, you know, I'm the biggest Gerrit Cole truther out there. You know how I am with that. I was so happy when we signed him. I think this is really on the Yankees organization, the ownership, the GM. Listen. You've got a barbaric rule about cutting people's hair when they get to the team. You can't have facial hair. You got to cut your hair. So let me ask you this question. If you knew that a guy's strength, if you took Tyson's, if you cut his wrist off, he said you can box, but you can't have a fist. He's not knocking anybody out with the nub. No one's getting knocked out with the nub. And so we're sitting here looking at Gerrit Cole. The beautiful, long, flowing hair with the Astros just killing teams.
Yeah.
Where's that guy? You've got to stop the rule of cutting the hair. You're killing Gerrit Cole.
No,
it's not his fault. And you took him out. And honestly, Fats, I don't know what you think on this. I thought you took him out too early. I thought the guy was just starting.
Get him out of there.
I thought he was starting to hit his groove.
Garrett Cole, you're a bum. Beat it. Maybe, all of you.
I
get
think
out.
It's the Yankees.
I'm sick of
honestly,
them all. 713-780-3776. If you want to call in, 713, it's 780-3776. You could tell us how the Yankees suck. If you want to call in, you think the Yankees suck? Yes. Give us a call. 713, we got a caller here. It's Billy down in the Bronx. Billy, what you think?
Guys, these Yankees, they suck. They couldn't hit their way out of a paper bag. You know what? Steinbrenner, sell the team. Get rid of the team. It's a joke now. 12 years, no World Series. Get out of here.
Ah, you made a lot of good points there. I'm Richie.
Couldn't hit.
He made a lot of good points.
Couldn't hit.
I swear to God.
Couldn't hit.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm done with him. I swear to God. I swore on my mother's grave. I'm not going to watch him again. Last night, my little beautiful Angela, it's not her real name, it's Antoinette, but I call her Angela because she's my little angel. I'm putting her to bed, and she says, Daddy, are we going to win tonight? And I says, yes, my baby, we're going to win. Now shut up and go to sleep so Daddy can watch a game. Can she talk? Yeah. She don't shut up this one. My other kids, they're rotten, but I love my little Angela. Yeah. And now I lied to her. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You fool me 1,000 times, Yankee. I'm done. I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. You suck. The whole organization sucks. I'm done with you.
Fats, they disrespected your daughter.
I know. My little angel.
Hey, listen. It's one thing for you to come at Richie Grivaldi and you say, we're going to make you look bad from your radio predictions yesterday, Richie Grivaldi. It's another thing when you come after this man's daughter. And you disrespect her, and you perform like that with the stripes on.
I'm embarrassed.
With the stripes on this, and the guy, and Billy made good points.
No, Billy.
Couldn't hit out paper.
Perfect. We got Tommy's calling us. Let's get him in here. He's from Long Island. Let's get Tommy on the phone. Hey, Tommy, what's going on?
How's it going, Tommy?
Guys, I mean, I've been so depressed. I thought this was our year. You had Cole on the mound. You got that Judge. You got Stanton. All them, I haven't slept a wink because I've been up crushing beers because the Sox took it. Yeah, Yankees.
Oh,
take
my
it.
God.
You couldn't take it. You had to.
Do yourself a favor. Yankee touch your mom on a special private place like you do every
just
day.
Kill yourself.
Touch
kill
your mom's own junk.
You're the worst.
I swear
of Boston.
You know, can you imagine?
That was Boston Billy.
We lost.
That was Boston
Billy.
Yeah, screw him. Hey, you know what? Kill yourself, Boston Billy. Kill yourself right now. You're the worst.
Jump into a sewer.
I can't stand the teams in the world.
Do me
we
a
lost
favor.
To the Red Sox.
Do
That's
me a
the
favor.
Worst.
Do me a favor.
Would Bucky Dent have lost to the Red Sox? No.
Never in a million years. Do me a favor.
May he rest in peace.
No, he was at the game last night. They have a video of him. Yeah, he's alive. Bucky Dent is alive.
Sorry, Buck. He's rolling over on his bed, probably.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah.
I want you to reenact what took place as much as you can. You probably woke up Andrew. Oh. I want you to reenact the Lucco household when Nevin rolls the right arm, delayed it, waited, and he rolls that right arm to say, come on in, Judge, and he gets thrown out at home. You heard our guy, Nicky Tortoro. Okay. We're going to visit with him next Tuesday. Reenact what happened at your... Do a reenactment for the listeners.
Okay. This is it. This is what's happening. He's waving him around. I know. I'm sitting there. I know he can't score. Listen, I might be faster than Judge. I'm telling you right now. And I'm the fat man. He's the slowest. And here's Nevin. Nevin, the number one overall pick that sucked. Why is he even coaching? He couldn't play a lick. And we're going to put him at third base, and we want this guy telling who's going to run home? He was the worst. He was one of the worst picks in baseball history. He's the Jamunchy Russell of baseball picks. And he's going to tell Aaron Judge when to run? You're the worst. You're all the Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone, how you got him at third base, and he's waving people home. You had one home run in your whole life, Aaron Boone. You suck, too. You out of here. Beat it. All of yous. Beat it. I'm done. I'm done with all of yous. Oh, look who's here. This is our friend. One of the best. He knows the game. He's got all the inside information. He's Tony Hatchett, man, calling in to the show. Tone. The Yankees suck. I'm sorry.
Hey, Batman, what's
worst.
Going on?
How you doing, Tom?
Batman, I'm with you. Everything that you and Richie have said today is exactly what we're feeling in the Hatchett household right here, the Valentines. I swear on everything that if you don't get rid of Phil Nevin, this guy is like, have you ever seen an old poodle where their eyes cloud over with glaucoma? They get real foggy. You can't even, you can barely even see the eyeballs. He just looks like one big gray cloud. And the poodle's running into the wall. And you're like, oh, my God, for God's sake, can this poodle die? This is how I feel about Phil Nevin. This guy's been doing this all year. I know you and Richie have talked about it on multiple occasions. Nevin has got to be put down like that old poodle. I'm so curious at Phil Nevin. This guy is a bum. You got to get rid of him. Passman, I'm done with him. He doesn't know how to build a team at all. I'm done with Gardner. Like you said, Brett Gardner, are you kidding me? Gardner should have been gone a long time ago. This guy does not represent us. And then finally, Garrett Cole. Are you kidding me? This guy is softer than a nun's panties. And he's sitting here wearing the stripes, embarrassing the entire city. Every borough in New York hates this guy. Every borough, and you know, no disrespect, Richie, but you're absolutely wrong on this one. Has nothing to do with the hair. This guy probably shaves his hair downstairs, if you know what I mean.
Whoa.
He's probably one of these manscapers. That's Tell me I'm lying.
Oh, I swear to God, he probably does that stuff. No, I leave mine cold. You let it go. Come on.
Listen, I'm so furious right now. One of the reasons is because, as you guys know, I have inside information with the Inside Sports Syndicate. I am not allowed to give my inside information to the Yankees because they will arrest me for collusion or whatever that's called, insider trading with the Yankees. Oh, but you can go to a split. There's a place on the internet called the Fan Graphs.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is actual fans making actual graphs that teams are allowed to use. These could be fans of the Astros. These could be fans of the Red Sox. And you're using the graphs from fans of different teams, but you can't use. How about this, Fetch? Do you think the Yankees would like to know this? We were digging around on information, and we were digging around on a lot of different statistics and whatnot. And we came up with this nugget. Garrett Cole had allowed 5 home runs in Fenway Park this year. You think the Yankees would have liked to know that before they throw this cupcake out there?
Yeah, I'm sure they would. But, hey, they don't know nothing. They're too stupid. Listen, if they had your information, you know what? They're moving on to play them Rays. I'm telling you right now, Tone, I wish they had your info. But you can't listen.
I swear on everything.
Listen, hey, don't get arrested, though, again. Don't get arrested again, Tone.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to. Listen, I don't want to get arrested again. You know how it goes. I mean, I still got 2 more months to get out of the probation. But listen, 1-800-676-5200. I'm going to be on tomorrow with Bats and Richie in my same spot as always. I got some winners for you. I told you guys the G-Man. How about the G-Man coming through? That's the only good thing that happened this week, the G-Man coming through. And you guys keep killing the Kings of New York. I appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow.
That's Tony the Hatchet Man right here. Right here on Wink, W-Y-N-K, the Wink, right here in New York City. I'm going to tell you what. I'm done. We got a good show for you here today. Don't you go anywhere. You're listening to the Wink in New York. If you're done with the Yankees, give us a call. The Yankees suck, and let's move on. All right, the Yankees suck. That's it. That was the Wink. We broke into their programming here this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about my peeps over at HR&P. We'll probably get called from them. Maybe we might get a little call. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. But here's the deal, is if you're looking for somebody that can handle your HR, if your employees are out of control, if they are doing stupid stuff that will hurt your business, I don't know. All you got to do is give them a call. Listen, they are awesome. They are awesome, and we love them. You ask Laura here. You call up here to our business office. If you're a CEO, CFO, you're not completely satisfied with your payroll company, by the way, this is what's happening out there. They say that they're going to do payroll. They say they're going to do HR. But then what they're really getting you at is with the benefits packages. And they're making you take benefits packages that you don't want, and they're making a ton of money on that. That's not what HR&P does. It's just payroll and HR. So if you're looking for a company that's going to give you a straightforward, honest, and great, great product, because we love them. They have never made a mistake with us. It's unbelievable. All you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:18 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get Chris in the Woodlands in here. He's been waiting to talk. He wants to talk about his Texans and some free agency. What do you say, Chris? How are you?
Good. How about you guys? Love the show.
Good, man.
Hey,
we appreciate
I had a question.
It.
Yeah. I hate the Cowboys, but any chance Jalen Smith might be on the Texans radar? And then my second question for Lance, and I know Tony Hatchman gets excited about New York, but I know Lance gets excited about offensive line. Lance, I was watching a lot of games in college. What makes a college offensive lineman translate to the NFL? Like, I watch Alabama, I watch Clemson, you know, you watch UT, and a lot of these linemen, they're monsters. They're 6'6", 6'7". And then you see, like, some kid out of, like, William & Mary come out and he's dominating in the NFL. Or what's the difference in a D1 offensive lineman to an NFL offensive lineman? I know you guys are talking a lot about Boston. But,
yeah, I'll try to keep it succinct. It's a little more complicated than it's just, like, there's a list of physical traits and play traits. Like, first and foremost is strength. You have to have a certain level of functional play strength and core strength. If you don't have it, NFL teams, if an NFL defensive tackle or defensive end figures out that you're not strong enough to handle his bull rush, then you will see that every single game from every single player. So it starts with functional strength. Then size is very important. You need to have a certain level of size. And then, I just think you have to be an NFL offensive lineman, you have to have a level of body control, balance, and hand strength. I think those are the most important things are hand strength, body control, and then a certain level of grit, because that keeps you sustained on blocks longer. Like, it's such a broad question. I appreciate the question. It's just a broad question. It takes longer, and there's different types of offensive linemen for different types of offenses. But bottom line, I think you have to have good hand strength. You have to have good body control and balance. I mean, those are non-starters. You have to have those, and then or you should have to have those, and you have to have functional strength. You know, at least be a certain level of strength and have a certain level of size. You can't fall below those levels most of the time, or you're a huge outlier. And, you know, and players from smaller, there's a guy named Spencer Brown who went to Northern Iowa, John. He started for Buffalo this week. He went to Northern Iowa. He was 200, when he was recruited to Northern Iowa, he was 225 pounds, tight end. No one was recruiting him, and Northern Iowa thought, you know what, he's like a one-star or whatever. You know what, we're going to recruit him, and we think we can put some weight on him, and he can become a tackle for us. He gained almost 100 pounds when he was there, chiseled, cut, like no bad body fat. And he's nasty and tough and mean and athletic because he's a former tight end. That's how a guy from Northern Iowa can end up being a starter his rookie season for the Buffalo Bills, a potential playoff team, is because it doesn't matter where you played, he's nasty, he's athletic, and he's got the body type and the strength to play the position. I mean, it doesn't matter where you come from.
And he worked his ass off.
Yeah, and a lot of times when guys have those chips on their shoulders from smaller schools, well, they're hard workers. They don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
That's in their DNA. They may not have had the same weight rooms or the same training tables, so they might be a little you know, honestly, Titus Howard fits into that mold. He's Alabama State. He's gained weight since being a pro. I just think he's gained too much. I don't think he carries great weight, and I don't think he's strong enough to play guard, which is a concern for me as a run blocker.
Yeah.
So,
822 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here to hang out with us. You're more than well. Anthony, we're sorry. If you want to call back, you can get back in here. Here's Pat Forty, who's going to be on with us tomorrow. Undefeated away from home and their risk assessment. There are more than a few teams, Oklahoma and Texas. Oklahoma's undefeated. The risk level for Oklahoma is high. Yep. Oklahoma's a 3.5-point favorite. Texas is playing really good football right now. And Pat Forty, who we'll have on tomorrow, thinks Texas wins this game 35-34 in a shootout. We'll see if that happens. That's going to be fun. Dusty Dvorak is going to join us a little bit later in this show, and then the Boz will join us tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're home for Oklahoma football. UTSA at Western Kentucky, risk level high. UTSA has been playing some good football, 5-0 this year. and they've been great away from home. But Western Kentucky can play. We'll see if they don't give them some kind of a game there. Michigan State at Rutgers. Rutgers is now Ohio State slapped them. Michigan had all they could
handle.
Listen
to Joe Fortenbaugh.
What?
You ever listen to Joe Fortenbaugh?
No.
On he and I can't remember. It's a gambling show. I was listening. Snacks had to run cross country. He wants to be in basketball, so you have to run cross country. And so it was raining last Saturday. I was in my car while he's running. I'm listening to Joe. I know Joe a little bit from back in the day when he was at National Football Post, and he went to that San Francisco morning show that I almost was going to be on. But Joe's great, and now he does ESPN stuff. He's a gambling guy. It's good. Really good. Picks are really, really good. And he said on that broadcast, look, I know that Rutgers gave Michigan a hard time, but you have to understand this is a really bad matchup for Rutgers. It's Ohio State has a different level of speed than Michigan. And Ohio State, I know on paper it's going to be tempting, but Ohio State is a bad matchup for Rutgers. He nailed it. Just completely nailed it. If you get a chance to listen, Joe Fortenbaugh is, I need to get him on the show, but he's in Vegas now. But he is really good when it comes to handicapping.
Michigan State at Rutgers. Pat Forty says the risk level here is high. Michigan State probably doesn't have near the speed that Ohio State does. Nobody has the speed. Not many people have the speed that Ohio State has.
Five stars tomorrow, right? 9:30?
Five star is tomorrow. Maybe we'll get his thoughts on that as well. Penn State at Iowa. This is the game of the week. Risk level, moderately high. Yeah, Iowa could win this football game at home. Absolutely, it could win this football game at home.
Well, Iowa's the favorite, though.
Iowa by 2.5, yeah.
Well, the winner of that game is going to potentially be in the driver's seat for a BCS.
They still have to beat Ohio State. Whoever, it doesn't matter where you're coming out of, you're going to have to beat Ohio State.
Any Big 12 team coming out undefeated is in.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That's a lock.
Yeah.
They're one of the four.
But yeah.
But the question is, I don't think Penn State can go undefeated.
You got Michigan State, Penn State, Iowa, and
I agree with you. Penn State and Iowa, I don't feel like those are either one of those teams can go undefeated.
Penn State, I would give the best chance to.
And I just don't see, like, they would get the brakes beaten off of them so badly in the playoffs. Well, yeah, like if they were facing Georgia or Alabama, they would get slaughtered.
Yeah, does Michigan have a chance this year against Ohio State?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Michigan's at Nebraska this week. You know who's playing better after a really piss-poor start? It's Nebraska. They're playing better football right now.
Piss-poor several years?
For several years, yeah.
No, they are. Nebraska's playing better. No, I think this could be the year Michigan clips Ohio State. It could be this year. I just don't see any of those teams rolling through undefeated. But it could happen.
Even a one-loss team has a good shot.
Well, you think about it. They don't play each other all the time. So I need to look at all their schedules to see who avoids. You do have a Big 12 champion, a Big 10 championship game. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. The Big 10 might finally be a factor in a, other than Ohio State, in the playoffs.
Georgia at Auburn. Georgia, the risk level, according to Pat Forty, is low.
I think it's low.
Yeah, Georgia's 14.5-point favorite. Alabama at Texas A&M. What's the risk level there for Alabama?
None.
Extremely low.
Okay.
Extreme.
It's funny.
What's a shame? Three
weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, we would have said, "Woo! This could be finally the assistant who beats Nick Saban."
Yeah, we were wrong. We were wrong. Of course, we didn't know Zach Calzone was going to be the quarterback. So that's been a problem. All right. When we come back, Darius Butler is going to join us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we'll do that on the other side. Right now, though, well, how do you get your seats, Lance?
SimpleSeats.com. You got them there. I got them yesterday there, two seats down in the lower infield. I've been getting emails from a lot of you guys, or rather tweets and direct messages from a lot of you who are asking about Simple Seats and then who are purchasing. And everyone, it's the same reaction. Extremely happy. You know why? Because we've all used the Vivid and the StubHub and Ticketmaster. And across the board, the worst is when you think you've got a good price and then you go through the checkout process. God forbid you get more than one ticket and you have to deal with those convenience fees for multiple tickets. It's a disaster. You get so ticked off at the checkout process. And sometimes you have to click through multiple screens and sign up for this, that, and the other to get your tickets. At Simple Seats, it is simple. You get to the website easily at simpleseats.com. You click one page, one link. It takes you to the game. You pick out your seats. You can do it by zone or by individual tickets, and you're going to find low prices. You'll find no fees ever, never a fee with simpleseats.com, and then the checkout is a breeze. You're going to get Astros playoff tickets for less than you're going to find anywhere else, and it's not even close. Simpleseats.com. Oh, you're looking for the Aggies Alabama game on Saturday? They got tickets, very inexpensive right now, in my opinion. Simpleseats.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. Catch every single moment of the Houston Astros' quest for another world championship on your home for the 2021 World Series, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back to the show, John and Lance. Darius Butler's joining us right now. 9-year NFL veteran, played with the Patriots, the Panthers, and the Colts. He is right now doing the Man to Man pod, that podcast, and he is with us to talk all things NFL and whatnot here on the show. Darius, welcome to the show. How are you?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good. We appreciate you. Can you explain to us this Stephon Gilmore getting cut? If the Patriots think, you know, that they're a decent team, a good team, and they got a chance to do stuff, they spent all this money in the offseason, and then you get rid of one of your best players for nothing?
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't. I guess they couldn't have come to terms on a deal. And, you know, they got a guy in the building they feel like could be a solidified, you know, one lockdown type corner with J.C. Jackson. It's not a shocker that they released him right after they played Tampa. They know Tampa would have grabbed him up as soon as they could. But a little surprising that they couldn't come to some sort of agreement, but this has kind of been brewing, you know, for a little while now.
You know, that's it's interesting you mentioned Tampa, because part of this is going to be, if you are going to bring him in as a free agent, I mean, you're basically going to redo a contract. So you're going to have to figure out. Tampa would make the most sense because they have so many corner issues, and it's a team who wants to win right now. But you're going to have to get creative if you're Tampa Bay from a financial standpoint. And based on when he got cut and when he's going to sign with another team, I think it's, you know, Stephon Gilmore is going to have to maybe be okay with a little lower number this year to help teams with the salary cap issues that they're going to have, trying to fit them in.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't see that happening. As a premier cornerback, you know, he's 31 years old, but I think he still has some prime years left in him. I don't see him taking a discount, you know, even 4 or 5 games into a season. So I see maybe he gets with the team who has the flexibility, who has the money to be able to take care of him. I mean, I honestly, as a fan, I would love to see him get connected out there with the Chargers. I know they have the money. I love what Staley does on the defensive side of the ball. Their run game, their run defense has been struggling, but, you know, bringing in a guy who can lock down a guy or lock down the side of the field actually will help you improve your run game as well as a pass defense. So I would love to see that matchup. The Ravens obviously could use them with the injuries that they had at corner and the style of defense that they play. Putting a lot of pressure on their defensive backs by blitzing and doing mixing things up. So it's a few teams that I think could use him and I think could get creative and find a way to pay him what he'll be, you know, at least happy with this year.
Darius Butler with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What about Jalen Smith? I don't know that there's as much left in that tank that as there is with Stephon Gilmore. Does he land anywhere?
Oh, he for sure lands somewhere. I mean, he's too young with too much ability not to. You know, it's got to be some way that a defensive coordinator can find some production out of him. He still has a lot of time ahead of him. For him, for me, I watch him. I see all the ability. I think he could do, you know, more as far as the preparation, from a preparation standpoint, from a mental side of the game. And that's a big deal. A lot of players struggle with that, but it's the more you can study, the more you can anticipate things. Even the young guy you see, Trevon Diggs at the corner position, like, he's been phenomenal this year. But a lot of that is due to his preparation, his study. I can just watch his film and tell that he's preparing and he's anticipating. And that goes for players all along the defense and the offensive side of the ball. The more you can study and be prepared for the play, the faster you can play. And, you know, they allocated a lot of money and resources to that linebacker position. It was surprising to me that they cut him since he won't be off the books this year. They'll still have to pay him his money. So it was definitely surprising coming after week four, but his play time wasn't really there. And sometimes, you know, you don't want, you know, that guy, I guess, in the locker room potentially becoming a distraction.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he was or that he is, but if a guy like that who's drafted high and paid a lot of money is not playing, that can definitely be a distraction. So yeah. They decided to cut bait, and we'll see who. I'm sure he'll land on his feet somewhere, though, and then for him it's going to be about taking advantage of this next opportunity.
You know, Darius Butler joins us right now, and you came into the league, played for New England a couple of years, and then went to Indianapolis. And that was in the midst of New England versus Indy. That was the big rivalry. I want to ask you a quick question before I get to a question about New England. You know, there's always the thought that when two rival teams, when a player goes from one team to the other rival team, that team that just got him tries to soak up as much information as they can, inside information about the other team. Did the Colts hit you up for New England-based information on the week of a game against New England? Did you have anything that you could give them?
I mean, yeah, that's always going to be a thing. You'll see when guys, you know, kind of hit the street, a division opponent probably pick them up sometimes just to get that information, depending on how good the player is and how much he'll actually contribute to the team. And then when you come from an organization like the Patriots, it doesn't matter where you go. You know, those guys want information. They want kind of, hey, let me get some of that secret sauce of what goes on behind the curtain there. So that'll always be a thing. Wherever you know, Gilmore lands, that'll be a thing. And then when you're playing, like I remember even being in Indy, you know, Peyton came back and we had some big games against him as a Denver Bronco. And, you know, I had all the questions in the world for Reggie Wayne and Robert Mathis or whoever played a bunch of snaps with him, a bunch of practices with him. As far as things he didn't like, things he did like, you know, checks he would like to get to and things like that. So it's always information to be shared, and it's an information business, and it's also a copycat league. So you want to learn, you want to try to apply as many good things that you can from other good organizations. So, yeah, that's definitely a thing, and that would be a thing for anyone who plays for, you know, really good teams.
Darius Butler with us here on ESPN 97.5, played for New England, played for the Panthers, played for the Colts. What's the difference? Was there a difference between the Patriots and the other organizations?
Yeah, it definitely was. I would say, you know, I was there with the Patriots early on in my career, so that was my introduction to the NFL, and I thought, wow, like, this is what the league is like. But going and playing for the Panthers, going and playing for the Colts, you realize it's a bunch of, you know, kind of different ways to do things. And the Patriots, you know, they obviously have had their way of doing things since Belichick has been there, and he's the single voice, you know, it's one voice, and it's a very clear message from the top down. And in different organizations, it's a little different. It's more freedom sometimes for, you know, people to kind of do things their way. But in the Patriots, when you have a guy who is the general manager and the head coach at the same time, you know, a lot less can get lost in translation, which obviously is a good thing because you saw what it produced for two decades. And so it was definitely different. And it sucked a lot of times, you know, Monday through Saturday. But when you jogged out of that tunnel on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday night, you knew that you had, and you were more prepared than the other team. You knew you had a pretty damn good chance of winning that ball game. So it made it all worth it.
Did Brady walk up to you your first day and say, "Hi, I'm Tom"?
I actually don't remember the first time I met him. But it was, you know, because you get there early as rookies, and then the quarterbacks, at least there, you know, are the kind of the first non-rookies to show up. And he came in, and he was just like one of the guys. And a lot of things that we were doing or plays I would make or things like that, my DB, hey, you know, you better tighten up. It's not going to work with 12 gets here. Not going to work with 12 gets here. And when he got there, you know, like I said, just one of the guys, you know, talking trash, the ultimate preparer. He would be a guy who would motivate the defense, the offense. It didn't matter who was on the field, he'd be motivating and yelling and you know, doing his thing. But he was one of the guys. I don't remember him actually introducing himself, but that was another big thing about the Patriots was knowing your teammates. So you had to get to know everybody. You had to know what school everybody went to, you know, from the offensive lineman to, you know, defensive lineman, everyone in between. So it was a cool experience there, and Tom was always a great teammate. And being one of the guys, you know, that's huge in the NFL locker room.
Based on what you know, have the Patriots kind of lost their way a little bit in terms of what it was when it was when the Patriots are really going hot and heavy? And we know it's been a long run, like a 20-plus year run. But do you feel like the Patriots now, Caserio's gone, Belichick and Brady, they eventually had a breakup at the end. We know there's a book that's coming out also that talks about some of that. Do you think maybe the Patriot way and everything that it was a great run, but maybe the way that it's been done is just kind of being lost or broken up?
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. Obviously Belichick, he 69 years old, I believe now, and I don't think he won't be coaching for that much longer. But I mean, as long as you're gonna have a couple down years, maybe in NFL, especially when you got a rookie quarterback. But I can't say that the Patriot way is by any means done or anything like that. I mean, they've had guys who have been pillars in that organization. Look at the old guard with, Brewski and Vrabel and Seymour and Ty Law, Brady, all those guys. And then the new guard, McCourty and Slater and Edelman and Gronk. So you have all these kind of different pillars in the organization. As long as you keep bringing in guys that'll keep that standard the standard. And, you got to find a quarterback. And you got one in Mac Jones who looks pretty good right now, but he'll have to go through his lumps and learning. But I still think the way that they do things will produce success on the football field. It's the National Football League, so some teams will struggle here and there. But I don't think by any stretch that, the Patriot way is over.
Well, it seems like it was the Brady way. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it.
How about Brady was a 56-yard field goal away from taking the L.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah. That is true.
And that was a good kick in the rain too. Like Folk.
Yeah.
That was a pretty damn good kick. That was in. That was in from 58 if it was a little further right.
You played with some pretty good quarterbacks. Brady, Cam Newton is rookie year, right? And then Peyton.
Yep.
That's not – a lot of guys don't play with those guys.
Well, I actually went from Brady Cam his rookie year, and then the following year I was with Andrew Luck his rookie year. I was the year right after Peyton was released and went and signed with the Broncos because of the neck injury. So I was with Luck his rookie year. Still, three damn good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was definitely blessed in the quarterback department until Luck started getting banged up.
Yeah, I mean, nobody saw that coming, but he was taking a beating, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was ugly early. And part of it was, on the guys protecting him, and honestly, part of it was on him and his style of playing, how he played the game. He was a quarterback, but he kind of had a old school linebacker mentality, the play was never dead. And then if he did throw an interception or something, he was actually trying to get his head in there and make a tackle, unlike these franchise guys walking around now. So part of it was on the guys protecting him, but part of it was definitely on Lux and his style of play.
But last question, why is it that certain guys, Ty Law, of course, I'm digging back to go to Ty Law, but Ty Law, Stephon Gilmore, you were only there 2 years in New England. But we know that Law and Gilmore were premier corners. I get that maybe it's just a financial thing with those guys, but they couldn't stick around. But you have Butler and McCourty and Chung, guys who play there forever. Is it just a financial thing that will eventually chase you out of town?
It's financially. Bill try to get rid of you a lot of times over a year or two before, it was almost time. You see guys go on and have a lot of, sometimes, successful careers after, but, it's certain positions and certain people in place that he wants to keep there, and I guess he sees the value there. But you got, Law, Asante Samuel, Gilmore, Revis to leave. A lot of great corners have come through there and kind of, you get a championship or two out of them and then you let them go. Like that's what Bill has done. But a guy like McCourty, who came in actually as a Pro Bowl cornerback his rookie year and then moved on to the safety. And being there with McCourty for a year, I knew McCourty was going to be there for a long time. He was just a Belichick type of guy from day one.
Yeah. Hey, that's Darius Butler. Hey, man, good talking to you. Great. Best of luck. It's called the Man-to-Man Pod. And
yes,
and you, where do you, you can hear it wherever you hear podcasts, yeah. I would imagine.
Yes. Wherever you hear podcasts, we're live on our Mondays and Thursdays at 11 o'clock Eastern Time on YouTube. Me and Antoine Bethea.
Awesome. Hey, man, it was good talking to you. We really appreciate you joining us.
Look at that, just DBs staying with DBs.
That's all they do.
Yeah, you know, we got to keep it close.
Bethea was a killer.
Oh, yeah.
That dude could 14 hit.
14 years.
He was a hitter.
Oh, yeah. He certainly was. All right, Darius, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging
with us. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Time for me to talk right now about Absolute Marble and Granite, my man, Jeff Aronoff. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get to improve, but it's got to be a big job. It's got to be a renovation. It's got to be maybe you're building a house and you want Jeff to put in all your countertops and your cabinets and your vanities and whatnot. If you can't find a subcontractor that'll get this job done, Jeff will put in the entire outdoor patio for you. He'll put in that outdoor kitchen for you. If you've had an older house and you haven't done anything to it, this is something that you got to do. You have got to upgrade, people. And I keep saying it, but Jeff Aronoff is only big jobs. Okay, it's got to be something worthwhile for him to go, because he's been doing this forever and he is doing it right. He does entire hotel, all of the countertops or vanities in entire hotels. This is what this guy does. And if you want to make that business something that you're proud of, something that people will go to, something that will upgrade, something that will increase the value, give Jeff a call. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, Cars for Kids wants you to get rid of that junk. Look, we can talk about how you're helping high school kids have a second chance at a diploma. They're working with Houston Can Academy, and that's all true, and that's all great. But look, the bottom line is, for a lot of you, you just have a piece of junk that's at your house. It's taking up room in your driveway. Maybe you got it on the grass at a friend's house. It's been stalled out for, you know, since the hurricane, whatever the case may be, and you're not going to do anything with it, let carsforkids.org come out there. They'll haul that junk off your property. It could be a car, truck, a motorcycle. They'll come and take it off your property for you. What a benefit. You don't have to pay anyone to do that. And as a matter of fact, they'll give you a $50 Visa gift card when you do that and a tax write-off so that you can write off the car and not the kid. This is your chance to get that junk hauled off your property. And you even get a tax write-off for it and a $50 Visa gift card. A deal like that doesn't come along very often. So make sure that you visit my friends at carsforkids.org.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Great morning today. Just a great, great morning to be an Astros fan.
Yeah, the Yankees are done. I was over at Luling's yesterday, and Colleen kept asking me, how is it that the Yankees could lose? Can they lose this game? And I was like, Colleen, no J.D. Martinez because he tripped. Oh, did you see how he got injured?
Yeah.
Running out to right field, and he slips on the bag.
I didn't realize that's why he's out.
Yeah. That's how he's out. It's so stupid. And listen, you got Garrett Cole against Eovaldi. You got that lineup. And by the way, Stanton showed up. Mm-hmm. Holy crap. That dude, I am so glad that he's out of the playoffs. I can't even tell you.
He's hitting the ball, too.
Oh, my God, is he hitting the ball.
When he hits the ball, it's like he uses a different type of wood. Like, it is, it's kind of got that Yordan. It's Yordan is as close as I can find to it. The Astros have. When Yordan really bangs one, it's like you just know that it's just hit different. It just sounds different.
I don't know that even Yordan can compare to Stanton.
No, Stanton is probably Stanton's the king different. Right now.
He's different. But Cole, you're like, thank God he's gone. I don't know. He's got an 8.24 ERA in his last five starts. He's been bad. So, I mean, have fun with that contract. Okay, have fun with that contract, Yankees, for the rest of it. Let's get Greg wants to talk about Garrett Cole and his performance. What do you say, Greg?
Hey, what's up, John? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Watching Garrett Cole fold kind of reminded me of something you said to a listener a few years ago at a restaurant at Rocky Ridge in Westheimer.
Mm. What did I say?
Well, I'm not going to say his name, but I'll tell you what he said. this individual had a little too much to drink, and he was sitting on the floor in front of the wall of TVs right next to an empty chair. And you leaned over and asked him, why are you sitting on the floor instead of sitting in this chair? And he said, oh, I don't know. And when I saw that picture of Gerrit Cole with his armpits just hanging over the dugout fence, it reminded me of that individual. And it reminded me of the wisdom that you give to all of us every morning, Monday through Friday, before you go and play golf.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that, Greg. I didn't think of that. I forgot that ever happened.
I don't
know.
Want
to know the truth. But if in fact if it conjures up those memories for you, I'm glad that I could be a small part. That's all I'm saying. That my wisdom can be a small part of your life. That is awesome. Thinking of Gerrit Cole sitting at Nick's place in front of the wall of TVs on the floor,
mm-hmm.
like he's playing a video game, like Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sitting on the floor with a chair right there. Although Cal didn't have any chairs, I firmly believe they took all the furniture out because they were afraid.
Yeah, if you missed it, check out Sage. Himself. Sage's hit with us yesterday. He actually told the story as relayed to him by David Carr.
Sage tweeted out the Rosencopter story, the video of the Rosencopter.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, hey, this is a really, really hard, bad memory for me. But you know what? You just got to live with it.
Why did he jump in the air?
No one knows.
Just slide. What was Sage doing?
I don't know.
Jumping in the air.
No. You can't. Your players love you sliding. Back then, you didn't slide like you slide today.
So let me ask you a question.
Back in the day,
they were sliding in the late 2000s. They were sliding.
Franco Harris used to get the business because he would run out of bounds instead of taking a
hit. It's not a big deal now.
No, now it's what everybody does.
Which you
okay?
You end up saving your career.
For what? RG3.
Yeah. For who? For what? Yeah. Well, RG3. But Franco Harris was a running back. Running backs, you had to take on every hit.
He's a running back in a blue collar town.
Earl Campbell and Walter Payton.
He played at Penn State. No. Yeah, he was Penn State. Franco was. Yeah. He played at Penn State, went to Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, that's Pennsylvania tough in the 70s and then into the early 80s. That's, you just don't understand. That was considered, you want to talk about your unwritten rules. Running backs don't run out of bounds. Kind of like college quarterbacks. There's just a lot of them still that won't slide. They just feel like, I'll slide when I get to the pros, but there's a level of toughness. More and more starting to slide now.
Well, and Brett Favre used to do a lot of that, too, because he wanted to show his teammates how tough he was.
And then remember when he was vomiting Vicodin and OxyContin and then was taking it out of the vomit and putting them back in his mouth and swallowing because he had so much pain? Do you remember that? Unrelated. No.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead and learn to slide.
Yeah. So, anyway, Gerrit Cole, awesome.
Chased. He didn't even make it through the third.
No, he couldn't get through. Too complete. Shane Reynolds is going to join us next. We'll ask him about
it. Is it going to get better? Can it get better with the Dodgers losing tonight to the Cardinals?
Oh, my God. Would that be not the best 2 days
the
ever?
Dodgers in losing Houston to sports the Cardinals?
History, these would be the best 2 days in Houston sports history if the Yankees and the Dodgers
and
lose.
Then McCullers throws a no-no in game one.
Oh, my. No. All right, when we come back. Shane Reynolds is going to join us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's my man, John Clay Wolf at GiveMeTheVin.com. He said some stuff yesterday that was really interesting, I thought, about buying gay shoes. And, remember? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite...
That was different.
It was different than I thought we would have a conversation we thought we would have with him. But you know what? That's just John Clay Wolf being John Clay Wolf. And I don't know if you like him. You might love him. You may not care for his brand of humor or whatnot, but I can tell you this, he's going to pay you. That's the thing about it. I don't care as long as he gives me more money for my vehicle. I don't care what he says, if you want to know the truth. It's kind of like, Chick-fil-A is really, really good. I don't care what all the religious, all this stuff and their thoughts on everything else. Their chicken sandwich is good. You know what? John Clay Wolf says all kinds of stuff I kind of like. Maybe you don't. But he is going to give you more money for your car. That's what I want. That's what I wanted when I sold Frankie's car. And that's what I want every single time I sell my car, the most I can get for it. And the most you can get for it is at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.